Cyclone Nation. You are now tuned to the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast, presented by Mr. B Clothing. And now, here's your host, Chris Williams.
Welcome to the Mr. B Clothing Podcast here at CycloneFanatic.com. We have a new intro.
What was that?
What do you mean, what was that?
That intro.
It's new. Andrew Downs made it for us.
Okay.
KXNO's Andrew Downs. Like, are you, you're flabbergasted right now by that intro, aren't you?
Yes, I am. I don't know. I mean, I've heard that, obviously, many times, but you're asking me, do you know what this is from?
Do you know where that's from?
No clue. And I'm embarrassed to say I have no clue where that's from. I should know, shouldn't I?
I'll make it pretty simple for you. And I gotta hold the mic away from my mouth for a minute, okay?
Got.
Woo!
Does that mean anything to you?
Nothing. Just you screaming like a girl.
The Nature Boy.
Who?
The Nature Boy.
Is this like a WWE thing?
Yeah.
Oh.
Ric Flair.
Actually, you know what? I'm not embarrassed. I don't know this. Then actually, I think that's a good sign.
Everybody
know.
Knows Ric Flair.
No, I know Ric Flair. I just don't. I didn't know that that was Ric Flair's.
Yeah.
That was his theme song.
The Nature Boy.
Woo!
Can we have Downs make a new intro?
What?
That doesn't involve WWE or like NASCAR.
I actually kind of thought that we keep these intros kind of fresh now that we're the top ranked podcast on iTunes.
Oh, how about that?
Well, I don't understand how. I really don't.
What do you mean?
Well,
they rated on awesomeness.
I mean,
so.
Well, whatever. We'll take it.
That's awesome.
We'll
that was
take
great
it
to see.
No, if you haven't already, subscribe to us on iTunes. You can go to, obviously, you know what iTunes is. Just go search Cyclone Fanatic, and you can subscribe to our podcast that way, or you can just continue to stream it, download it, whatever, from CycloneFanatic.com. Mr. B Clothing, proud sponsor of the podcast. I told Timmy Sitzman about this the other day. He's pretty pumped up.
Oh, how could he not be?
Yeah.
He is the sponsor for the number one college sports podcast on iTunes.
Woo!
Oh, geez.
All right, I'm done with that.
Wow.
I'm done. A lot to talk about today. We will discuss last night's utter debacle in Morgantown. We'll talk a little bit about Troy Douglas leaving Iowa State's coaching staff for a job at Pitt. Bobby Legesse of the Ames Tribune broke that story earlier this morning. Maybe a little bit Gray's a big figure skating fan, so we'll probably talk a little Olympic figure skating.
Why? Why? Sorry.
The fact that you continually mock Nancy Kerrigan, a young girl, after she gets cracked in the leg by a couple of goons is concerning to me.
She is absolutely rich because of getting cracked by a couple of goons.
We actually had that discussion. Her life might be better off because of that.
Oh,
I don't think she probably would have won the gold anyways.
No. I don't think there's any question. She is more popular and more famous because a couple of goons took her out. I don't think so. Listening to the why and the 30 for 30 and laughing about it, I did feel bad for a couple seconds.
You can't
and
laugh
then,
at the young girl getting clubbed at the leg.
And if it was live and everything, I would feel terrible for her. But looking back, 20 years later?
Yeah, she's a millionaire.
And she's a millionaire. It's kind of...
She was a big enough athlete. She would have been a millionaire anyways, but she wouldn't be known.
If you won gold. But how many other figure skaters do you know?
Well...
Michelle Kwan. Is it Michelle Kwan?
Michelle Kwan.
Yep.
We just saw, because it was just on TV, Johnny Weir.
Who?
Johnny Weir.
Yeah, I don't know.
That guy was wearing the pink shirt.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Stylish.
Tara Lipinski, because she was on TV as well. And I totally would have never pulled that name out.
You know her. You know more than I do.
I know Christy Yamaguchi. Is that her name?
Christy? I thought she was like a tennis player.
She was like the big deal before Kerrigan and Tanya Harding came around.
Okay.
Brian Boitano, he's a multiple-time Olympic gold medalist.
You should stop right now.
Hey,
have any respect for
my
you.
My mom's a huge figure skating fan. She really is. Like, she'll watch it even when it's not the Olympics, when it's just on, like, ABC Y World of Sports, you know, on Saturday. So I used to, when I was a kid, I would have to take some of that in. But I think that's where my list ends.
See, I can't get into figure skating for obvious reasons, but a lot of the winter sports in general, even though they're fun to watch, anything where I can't tell who's going to win or lose and it's all up to judges to vote on, I just can't enjoy
it. This comes back to your hatred of authority and
absolutely. Referees. It can be too political. It just
well, I mean, that's what the Olympics are. It's all politics.
I know, and I don't like that.
How in the heck do you think Russia got the Olympics?
Yeah, political.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I love the Winter Olympics. I'll watch anything. I swear to God, Adam, I'll watch anything on the Olympics.
You'll watch the dancing, figure skating, where the couples dance together?
I have a hard time being interested in that. My wife likes that, so I'll have to stomach through that.
Yeah.
But I like watching figure skating just in the Olympics. I mean, I'm not watching it at any other point in my life. I don't watch hockey. I don't watch NHL hockey, but I'll watch Olympic hockey all day.
Huh.
I love watching curling. I think it's fascinating.
Yeah, curling is fun to watch.
Any of the skiing events and snowboarding, sign me up right now. Let's do it.
See, downhill
luge.
Downhill skiing, like luge,
bobsled. Have you ever luged before, Adam?
I've never luged. Never.
It's crazy.
I would actually, that would be terrifying.
Oh, it'd be awful.
No, I think they're fun sports to watch, but the ones where judges are the ones that are determining winners or losers, I have no desire to sit and watch those. None.
Why do you hate authority so much?
How much time do we have in this podcast?
Well, I don't really want to talk much about last night, so we've got more time than normal, probably.
But the fans want to hear what we have to say about last night.
Here's your take on last night. I mean, it doesn't take a genius to figure this out. Iowa State played awful.
Garbage.
I mean, they can't play worse than that.
I hope not.
Well, if they can, then they were awful. West Virginia, to their credit, took advantage of the awfulness.
Yeah.
With the wide open threes, they hit them.
Mm-hmm.
They looked really good. And you're on the road. You're coming off of the high of Melvin Edgem's record-setting performance, where I think we all can agree the rest of the team really didn't play that well on Saturday.
No, not at all.
I thought that was the letdown game and that they would be back up for Monday. I was wrong with that. But, you know, you combine all of that and bada bing, you lose 102 to 77 or whatever it was.
Yeah.
I'm not, well, it is what it is. Like, it sucks. And frankly, I'm a little bit concerned going forward. I'm not freaking out. I mean, they'll be fine.
Yeah.
They should beat Texas Tech on Saturday and everybody will feel good again. Some warm fuzzies. But nonetheless, I mean, that was a just dismantling.
It was.
Is what that was.
It was a dismantling. And the fact that we played Texas Tech actually doesn't have me quite as concerned as if we were, let's say, had Oklahoma or Oklahoma State coming up.
Yeah, you got two home games in a row now.
Yep. But I have a little concern, Chris, just because we've seen three straight halves where Iowa State has no desire to play defense whatsoever.
The TCU game, you can't – if you think that a team, any team – with Iowa State's talent, I mean, it's not blue chip talent across the board for Iowa State. It's a talented basketball team, but this isn't like you're throwing like Embiid and Jacoby.
We have no five stars, nothing like that. Yeah.
So, but my point is, off of an Oklahoma State game where you go three overtimes, where it's probably your biggest win of the season in some people's minds, if it will turn out being that, I don't know.
Yeah.
To just expect a 100% spot on, sharp performance against TCU, that's unrealistic.
Well, Chris, we held TCU to 22 points in the first half, and then a complete letdown in the second where we gave up 47, and then we gave up 102 to
that happens sometimes.
To West Virginia.
You're not going
to
bring your A game every time out. That's unrealistic.
102 points should not happen.
Well, I'm not defending last night. I'm talking about TCU.
47 points to TCU.
They won by
15
points at home.
Okay, but here's my issue.
And I wrote after the game that the rest of the team played like crap and they were lucky that Melvin Edgem went off. I recognize that. But I don't think you can kill them for that game.
No, I'm not killing them.
They won by 15.
I think the fact that Edgem scored 48 made it hard for the coaching staff to get their attention going into West Virginia.
Exactly, yeah. I'll buy that.
Yeah, because they were on a high of, he just set a Big 12 record. And who cares if we gave up 47 points because we still won by 15.
DeAndre Kane was, I mean, that crowd was just completely in his mind.
Well, you could tell in the free throws.
Oh, yeah. I mean, really once he airballed that free throw, it's like, later, dudes.
Yep.
It's out. I felt bad for him with all of his family there.
Yeah, and you know, it was great to see them, though. Even when he came out with five, they were really supporting him. And, that was good to see. It had to have been a tough game for him. The crowd was on him from the opening tip, and they didn't let off at all.
It's weird. And so we're obviously not from that region.
Yeah.
But do West Virginia fans just hate Marshall that much? Do they hate Pittsburgh?
I mean, it'd be like, I mean, I guess would
Northern Iowa, like a Northern Iowa player coming and playing in Hilton? Yeah, or Drake?
I don't think we would build him. But I mean, let's be honest, DeAndre Kane's got that personality.
If Ravonte Rice, though, who has a pretty bold personality, would come play in Hilton, would people do that?
No, but I don't think Iowa State and Drake are the same as West Virginia Marshall. As far
I don't know. That's what I'm saying. I'm not from there.
I'm not either, obviously.
I know so that it's a rivalry, but I guess I'm having a hard time. DeAndre's, you're right, he has a bold, strong personality, and I could see how the opposition would not care for him. But that, I mean, to their credit, it worked.
They saw blood in the water, and they kept going after
him. I mean, once he airballed that free throw, man, it was over.
Oh, yeah. It was. It was, you know, and the second half is what it is. I thought the team came out in the second half, and it looked like they were trying to fight to get back in the game. And to West Virginia's credit, they kept hitting shots.
They kept hitting shots. Yeah. That was the key.
And, you know, you give shooters open looks to start the game, the basketball hoop's going to look bigger. And later on in the game, even if you start defending, it's harder to get stops because they're used to seeing the ball go in the hoop.
There are a couple times where Iowa State would go on like a 5-0, 6-0 type run, and then, bam, they'd hit another three. And it's really demoralizing when you're feeling some momentum, and then, you know, and you're chipping away at the scoreboard, and then bam, it just ends. And they just, that was a, I told you before we recorded this podcast that I think if Iowa State played well last night, they still lose by 10.
No, I agree. I think West Virginia is the one team coming into Hilton on the remaining schedule that could beat Iowa State and Hilton.
Just I think Texas could.
I'm not afraid of Texas at home. I don't know why. Maybe I'm wrong.
I mean, they have a dominant big man that could really give Iowa State fits.
I think Iowa State will do a better job pulling them out of the lane on the other side.
Sure, they would. I mean, Iowa State should have won that game in Austin, frankly.
West Virginia's got a team, though. They might have the best guard play in the Big 12 now that we look at it.
Oh, absolutely. I don't
remember when we had this conversation a couple weeks back?
Yeah, I mean, you got
Okie State, Smart, and Nat, or not Nash, but
we'll get to Smart in a minute. I would say that they do.
Right now, looking at them, of all the teams we played, I'd say they
I would
the
take
best.
That combo over Kansas's.
I would agree. That Staten's good.
Well, I don't know, but you got a Marcus Foster.
I watched the end of that game. That kid's got ice in his veins, and
dude,
he's a freshman.
Yeah.
He stepped up to the free throw line, chomping on gum, like just another couple free throws,
that
no
kid,
big deal.
That kid is off the charts good.
Is my Alec Burks comparison pretty fair?
Yeah, that's a good comparison.
You know, a guy who no one expected anything from, really.
I think it's Alec Burks. Well, we need to look that up.
What did I say?
Did you say you called him Alex?
No, Alec. A-L-E-C.
Yeah, it's Alec. Yeah. But we're going back into the Tad Boyle time machine, baby.
Oh, your favorite coach.
Dude, how good is he?
He's a good coach.
So I was watching TJ in Washington on Sunday night.
They got smoked.
Just freaking walked into a buzzsaw.
That's a hard place to play.
Do you remember when Colorado would have like 200 people there?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Boyle's done an amazing job.
And Iowa State would still lose there. That's a hard play.
It's hard to play anyways because of the altitude. Yep. And they used to just lull you to sleep. But, my God, if Bill Self ever leaves, I mean, he's a shoo-in for the Kansas job, isn't he?
I would think so. You can't.
I always say if Hoiberg would ever dart to the NBA, that would be my number one guy to pump for Iowa State.
You'd have to pay him
a lot of money. Because I think he's in a really good spot. I actually compare him, like what he's doing right now, to like a Greg McDermott situation where at Northern Iowa, you know, he was in a little cocoon. He couldn't do anything wrong. He had it figured out. And then all of a sudden you move on and you got to start recruiting different type players. I think Boyle, he could really build something special in that league in Colorado if he just sticks around.
And he's going to have a home court advantage that few teams have with the altitude. And
now they can smoke pot.
Oh, my gosh. You know, you can recruit some players there now.
Is there – seriously, if you go to Colorado game, is there – you know, there's like a smoker section outside. Can you smoke pot in that section?
Well, I don't know. It's a university – if it's on university grounds,
you probably can't smoke. Yeah,
I would assume no.
Interesting. Well, say you're at a bar.
Yeah.
Can you just light a joint in a bar?
There's no smoking in bars out there either, just like there is here. So I would assume you'd have to go outside.
But you can just light up a joint on the street.
I would assume so.
That's crazy to me. I don't want to get political here, but that boggles my mind. Like living in Iowa my whole life, that you could just step outside of a bar and light up a J.
Times have changed rather quickly, haven't they?
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
All right, moving on. So last night sucked. You know what else sucked last night? Twitter.
Twitter always sucks, dude.
Dude, I'm starting to get really really agitated with it. Not so much Iowa State fans, because I don't mind when Iowa State fans are irrational and tweet at me, because that's part of the gig, you know? Like, fans are fans, and they're going to get emotional and passionate, and we love that.
I get it. I do it.
Just the, have you noticed the, and I'm not going to name names or anything, but just the increased amount of trolling over the last couple of years?
I think some people, I think it's like a hobby of theirs to troll. I really do. I think it's something they enjoy doing, and they go out of their way to see, to find people that they can troll and just rile them up and rile up a fan base.
Yeah, because, I mean, you've got people now creating anonymous names.
Yep.
Just random names just to, like, put out one tweet about, like, Rashad Vaughn to see if it gets any traction.
Yeah.
And all it takes is one person to retweet it, and all of a sudden that person's, you know, there's merit.
Yep.
Which is, that's the thing I hate about Twitter.
Is there anything...
The to finish my point,
yep.
The fake athlete names...
Yeah.
That's gone too far.
Like the Fox? Like the... What do you mean fake
like
athlete?
Like, oh, for instance, this is a better example. Like the fake Randy Peterson. Have you seen that one?
The one that you retweeted?
Yeah. But, I mean, it's... That's an honest mistake, though.
No, I get it.
I wasn't the only member of the media who did it.
No, I know.
Because Scott Docterman retweeted it. I didn't follow that guy. And I saw it coming from Doc's feed, who's a well-respected journalist.
Yep.
In Eastern Iowa. And I'm like, well, damn. You know what I mean? How'd I miss Randy tweeting that? I mean, that's an account that's not made as a parody to be funny. Those are fine. I don't know. That's an account that's made to, like, actually...
Make Randy look bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which should be illegal, in my mind.
I'm not going to argue with you on that.
So last night, I had a, pardon my French, but a jackass Hawk fan retweet something I said, but he leaves the entire point of what I said out of it, makes me look like an idiot, and all of a sudden I've got two dozen Hawk fans talking trash to me on Twitter.
Little brother, just always.
It's unbelievable. The life that some people do not have boggles my mind. For real. It really does. I can't comprehend how little life some of these people have.
You know what the worst part about it is? Is the guys that don't have the sack to have their own name on a Twitter feed.
Put your name on it.
Yeah, if you're going to sit here and be tough on Twitter, put your name on it.
I agree. Nonetheless, again, I love Twitter, and I'm not speaking to Iowa State fans here. Sure, everybody. I love the passion.
Yeah.
But, like, it's the trolling and the deception. You know what I mean?
Yep.
That's the bad part of Twitter. Twitter is a communication tool, not a... I did anymore. Like, I read a great article the other day about how the way you really enjoy Twitter is you need to cut your list in half of people you follow.
I just dropped about 50 the other day.
Did you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Feels good.
I feel like I need to do that. I need to liberate myself from some
of these
people.
I hope to make the cut.
Oh, you will.
Yeah. Even if I go off on some rough suck tangents.
I love those.
Yeah.
Man, those are great. No, I just... You know, and this kind of goes back to, I don't know if you read my Monday musings this week. It was about Marcus Smart and that situation. You know, and in journalism school, this is what I wrote. They tell you, you know, part of to be a local journalist like in Iowa, let's say you're working for a weekly newspaper in a small town, it could be difficult to have legitimate news stories pertaining to your area 24/7, right?
Sure.
It's hard.
Yep.
So what you do is you take... like a national story, and you relate it to something going on locally. So let's say there's, you know, for instance, there'd be an earthquake in New York City. Just throwing that out. You would, a good story would be to go over and talk with your emergency personnel in your town about what are the, you know, what precautions do you guys take? What would you do if there's an earthquake here? That's a story. And that's interesting to people.
Yeah.
It affects you, or it could potentially affect you. So that's kind of what so I'm watching the Marcus Smart thing on Saturday night. You're actually the one who tipped me off on that. I had gone out to dinner with my wife, and we had been watching the Northern Iowa game. And so I didn't know any of this was happening at the time. So the next 24 hours, I thought about, like, comparing it to anything at Iowa State and what everybody can. So Marcus Smart's got to learn from it, whatever. The douche Texas Tech fan, he needs to learn from it, whatever. But have you picked up on over the last 20 years, though, just the deteriorating overall sportsmanship in this world? And listen, I'm not saying we all need to wear halos over our heads and cheer the opposition. That's not what it's about. This is big boy basketball, you know, you got to wear your big boy pants when you go on the road in the Big 12. But, like, can you just like a grown man?
Yeah.
I don't care what he said to Smart, if it was piece of crap. I really hope that he didn't say what was the first report. But can you,
which
can
Twitter you, just blew the guy up
yeah,
for.
Adam, yeah. Can you imagine being 60 years old and a 19-year-old kid comes in front of you and just doing that to him, though?
Well, okay, let's go back to your original point. You think it's deteriorated over the past 20 years. I would bet.
I just, since, like, I remember going to games.
Yeah.
Like, I don't ever remember Iowa State fans, not fans, this was students, chanting F. McGarry in the Michigan, you know what I mean?
No, that's bad.
To me, that's just straight classless, and there's no other way to.
Especially when he.
You can get in a guy's head without getting vulgar. You know what I mean?
No, I agree. I agree.
Like, I mean, what West Virginia fan booing DeAndre Kane when he gets the ball? I mean, whatever. I'm okay with that. The Pittsburgh reject chant, I was a little bit uncomfortable with that. I feel like you're kind of crossing a line at that point when you start getting personal. But booing a guy, whatever, that, you know, that's been going on for decades now.
What about calling a guy a piece of crap? People have been yelling that for 30 years.
I know, but don't you feel uncomfortable about a grown man doing that to a 19-year-old kid?
I'm not saying it's right. I don't think sportsmanship in that regard has gotten any worse.
I would expect that from a junior in college.
Yeah.
Who might have a couple beers in him. Yeah. I just wouldn't expect that from a grown man sitting courtside.
I think I might have yelled, called Smart a piece of crap last year when he flopped on that Niang technical, I think is what it was.
Okay, so, and I'm not sticking up for Smart. He was wrong. He probably, in my mind, I mean, 3-4 games, he deserved the suspension. He deserves what he's getting.
Yep.
And he clearly has a history of now of being a bit of a hothead, and he needs to get it under control.
Correct.
But, and, you know, it just made me think in broader terms, because I assume, you know, if I'm the athletic director at Texas Tech right now, I'm sending out emails to my season ticket holders. You know, you want to, from a PR, you want to get on this.
Yeah.
And I assume Oklahoma State's probably done the same thing, just an assumption. So I'm thinking, like, and I take it back to Saturday. You were at Hilton. The Melvin Edgem chant.
That was awesome.
How cool was that?
That was awesome.
I mean, I got goosebumps when that was going on, because it's you're praising your kid. You know, you're praising a kid who's always done the right thing. He does it the right way. And it made SportsCenter. How good did that make Iowa State look? It
made Iowa State look great.
Yeah. So my point is, I would love to see a world, and I know, you know, this Smart thing's going to go away once he comes back. And everybody, you saw it last night. Obviously, West Virginia didn't take anything from the incident on Saturday. And I'm not condemning them for that. Whatever. I'm not trying to get on a pedestal here. But I just feel like there's a real opportunity here for Iowa State fans to build off of what they did on Saturday, the Melvin Edgem chant, right? Good. You know, instead of chanting F. McGarry, you had Melvin Edgem going off in that game. How about a beast mode chant for Melvin Edgem? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Get creative. Get clever.
Cheer for your players rather than cheering against other players.
Yeah.
I don't like the you suck after the five claps either. I hate that.
Yeah, that doesn't look good either.
No, it's just, why?
But, and I'll be honest, though, I'm a hypocrite because you when I was in college, I would have, I'm sure I probably did that.
Yeah.
But now, a little more seasoned. I'm totally hypocritical here, but you do grow up and you do realize things. And my point is, the Smart thing, I think everybody can take a little bit of something from.
I would agree.
I don't want to be like a crotchety old man on a pedestal here.
You're right. A 55-year-old man should never be sitting there yelling at a kid. And whatever the guy said, Smart's got to know he's not the first player to hear it. He's not going to be the last player to hear it. And doesn't make it right or wrong. But I don't care if it's an 18-year-old, 19-year-old kid. Yeah. I don't care. He's got to be above it.
Oh, yeah. No, you're absolutely right. In the context of it, too, it wasn't like Smart did what that Harris kid did to Monte last night.
I had no issues with that.
Well, no, we can get into that in a sec.
Okay.
But it's not like Smart punched the guy on the floor.
No.
You know what I mean?
It was a two-handed shove, though.
But it was a play on the ball.
Oh, you're talking about to the player.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, no issues with that at all.
Yeah, no, I'm not talking about when he went into the crowd. I'm talking about the foul that got everybody.
The foul was 100% legit.
What was going through that guy's mind to just lash out at them at that point? I mean, it was a hard foul. Your team was going to win the game at that point.
What's lashing out, though? Is calling someone a piece of crap, is that lashing out? I just want to know. Like, I hear Iowa State fans every game yelling, "You piece of crap, sit down, you know, I hear it all the time. So what?
Does that make it right?
No, it doesn't make it right, but I don't know. It just, to me, it's, if he really said piece of crap, I don't see any issue with, with what the guy did. Now, is it right or wrong? No, I take that back. I take issue with what he did.
Would this Jeff Orr guy?
Yeah.
Or these people you're hearing and talking about?
Yeah.
If it's after the game, and that player is walking to the bus, and they go face to face, would Jeff Orr go up to Marcus Smart and call him a piece of crap?
No, because it's the same as those Twitter pansies that don't have their faces in their name. They're surrounded by 10,000 other Texas Tech fans. He feels tougher than he really is, and yeah. He feels like he can yell, so smart. I'm not saying it's right. It's wrong. My big point is, it's been said before, Smart's got to be smarter than that. And I probably am going a little too easy on Jeff Orr. The guy, he does seem like a loser.
Yeah.
He does.
Oh, yeah.
And he sounds like he's gone from Texas Tech games going forward.
For the rest of the year, they didn't do it. The report is that he volunteered, which, you know, tip of the cap to that.
Yeah.
I mean, he
you got to be a little embarrassed. I mean, you're a grown man and you are yelling at it. I mean, he's got to be embarrassed by it.
Yeah. So. Well, good talk. So the Harris, you didn't have any problem with what he did to Monte?
I mean, it was a hard. I think he should have got tossed, and he did. So
yeah,
I
they made the right call.
The refs did a really good job.
Hogue deserved a flagrant one.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, as a teammate, as someone that's played sports before, if I see one of my players get kicked in the gut, the reaction is to have their back. I didn't have a problem with the hard foul. I had a problem with after the hard foul, he kind of pulled up his shorts a little bit, looking like he wanted to fight.
Yeah, he puffed up a
little
bit.
Yeah, like he was this big tough guy. That I had an issue
with.
Why
did you do it to Monte, though?
Dude, it's no different than a guy hits a home run and he pimps it around.
Yeah, and then you bean.
And then you bean the next guy.
Yeah.
No different. My brother, I played flag football with him a couple years back, and I.
Oh, we're going flag football.
Flag
stories.
Football. This is nothing. Not too competitive, but this just kind of shows you what you know. Brothers, teammates, and teammates are like brothers. You know, they are
absolutely
family members. So, I was on the line blocking for my brother's quarterback, and we were beating this team like 44-0, fourth quarter.
You're an offensive lineman on your flag football team?
You know, we catch passes, though, too. You know, I'm not a speed demon, Chris. I'll admit it.
It's all good. Go
my
on.
40 times 5'8 or something, somewhere
carry
around
on
there. But anyway, end of the game, a guy comes by me, and he absolutely just racks me. I mean, right in the man parts, all right?
Were you wearing a cup?
No, it was flag football. No,
I didn't know.
No, it wasn't.
I haven't played flag football
and
in a while.
I drop, and my brother sees it, and he turns with a football, and he throws a fastball right off this guy's face.
Nice.
I mean, he just drills it. And
did
the guy stands up, and he's like, what the hell? And his teammates see me on the floor, and they're like, dude, you racked the guy. You deserved it. And, I mean, it just – I think the West Virginia guy saw Ho kick his teammate in the stomach.
At
and
his
said,
back.
And I'm going to get his back. To me, that's sports have been played that way for 100 years.
Yeah, no, I get that point.
And now we're a little
bit
softer.
I think the ref got the call right both ways.
Absolutely. He should have been ejected. I'm not saying that.
Yeah.
It's like when a pitcher throws at a guy, sometimes he gets ejected afterwards, right?
Yeah.
But I understand why a pitcher did it. I get it.
Knowing Bob Huggins' personality, he probably didn't have much of a problem with it either.
No, absolutely not.
Now that
you're building toughness.
Building off of that, that game will be nuts when they come to Ames.
Oh, yeah.
Those two teams are about to do battle.
There's payback. You can't.
What do you think is going to be going on in DeAndre Kane's mind leading up to that game?
I think he is. I think he's going to drive the lane harder than we've seen him drive the lane all year. And he typically drives pretty. Goes in there recklessly. But he's going to attack. You know, he's done a really good job posting up lately. But he seems to be short arming those too when he gets the ball in the post.
Mm-hmm.
Once he starts getting those to fall again too, I think our offense will open up a lot more. I think our offense has been really bad lately.
It's one game. They'll be fine.
No, I know they'll be fine.
Yeah.
I'm just saying they gotta fix the issues though. There is a little cause for concern. Luckily, when you get whooped like this, Hoiberg, Doc Sadler, the coaching staff, they'll have their guys' attention the rest of the week.
Job's a lot easier today.
Yep.
All right. Let's move on here in the Mr. B Clothing podcast. I want to remind everybody we've got our football recruiting party coming up tomorrow night at the Keg Stand in West Des Moines, 7:30 start. I want a simple reminder. This is 21 and over. This is a bar, so you can't bring your kids. I apologize. Wish it wasn't that way, but you know what? It is what it is. We've done it this way for
5 years.
This will be our fifth year, and the party has grown each and every year. So we want to encourage you to get there early. So you can, limited tables. There's always enough room.
Yeah.
But they're limited tables. So I would encourage you to get there. The special guests will arrive at around 7:30, half-price appetizers, half-price drinks. That's crazy.
That is crazy.
Going all out on that.
He is. He's showing his love for the Cyclone fans, so show your love back.
Yeah. It'll be a good time. 7:30, the Keg Stand at West Des Moines, our fifth annual recruiting party.
Is this your favorite event of the year that we put on?
You know what? I love this party.
Yeah.
I thought that our kickoff party was awesome at Benchwarmers.
That was
this year.
A great party, yeah.
That was really fun.
Yep.
Now, I love the recruiting party, though, just because I've seen it grow so much over the years from what we used to do back when Steve Dace and I would throw this at, the old, what was it called? Three Bag.
Three Bags, yeah.
You know.
Is that place still open?
No, they shut down years ago.
See, I'm too old. I'm out of that scene.
Yeah, no, they got out the game. But nonetheless, we would have like 30 people there.
Yeah. Well, I was there. I was there for the first one.
Yeah. But it was cool. It was still fun. But now, like, when we're hundreds of people and Ryan, like, the difference between back in the day and now is we have a partner who is all about it.
He goes all out for it.
Yeah. I mean, he's bringing in DJs and stages and all kinds of good stuff. So it's very cool. It probably is my favorite event of the year because of that.
Yeah. The basketball event was great.
The basketball event really grew this year.
Yep.
That really took off. Hoiberg was playing, what's that shooting game?
Oh, you got the two hoops and you're timed and you shoot. Yeah.
Hoiberg was taking on all challengers. That was kind of cool.
Never lost. I'm shocked about that. But
he's talking smack about my golf game.
Which he's got a right to.
Yeah, well, until I can outdrive him.
So never.
That will never, ever be the case. Troy Douglas leaves the football staff this morning, according to Bobby Legesse in the Ames Tribune. That's a little cause for concern, Adam. Not specifically because Troy Douglas left, but I mean that's five assistants now that are new on the staff.
Yeah, it's a little worrisome. I mean,
because I think that, and we both agree, Iowa State could have a 6-7 win football team next year.
Yeah,
but I mean now you've got to redo some language. You've got guys who got to learn a few things, and the curve is getting steeper by the day.
The programs that, you know, maybe struggle the first 4 or 5 years under a new coach, but then you start seeing the improvement, like a Gary Pinkel. One thing they all had in common was continuity. They had
University of Iowa.
You know, exactly. You know, they had the same staff, and they were there over and over. I mean, Iowa State's now had three offensive coordinators. This is going to be their fourth defensive backs coach in Rhodes' 6 years. I'm not saying Iowa State's not going to win 6 or 7 games next year because of Douglas leaving.
No.
But it's worrisome.
Yeah. Well, and let's be fair. Three of the departures, Bill Blyle took the offensive coordinator job. Pope and Messingham are both asked to leave.
Correct.
And Curtis Bray tragically died. So there's five. We're not really saying like, oh, they're leaving because of Rhodes or anything like that.
No.
It's just you got a lot of guys to replace at this point.
Yep. And you got a short period of time. I mean, I know football season seems a long ways away, but for these coaches to mesh and get their, you know, ideas together, it's somewhat of a short time for them to.
I'll say this. I've been impressed with Paul Rhodes throughout this process, though, from the standpoint of there are not many head coaches at this level who would hire a coordinator and basically let that coordinator get his guys.
Yeah.
Now, Mangino told me on signing day that it was Paul's decision, and of course it is when it comes to the finality of them. But you've got, you know, Tommy Mangino and Brandon Blaney coming in who have worked with Mark Mangino for years now.
Yeah.
That really will shorten what we're talking about.
That's an excellent point. That is a great, great point. I agree with you 100%.
Yeah. So I tip my hat to Rhodes, though, because, again, there's a lot of guys who – it's my team. We're doing it my way. I feel like Rhodes is really giving Mangino the keys, which I think is what we all thought was needed.
It absolutely is needed. I mean, his resume speaks for himself. I mean, he's won a national championship as an offensive coordinator, you know, and he did great things at Kansas. So give him the keys and watch and see what he can do. And I think the tools are there for Mangino to put together a successful offense this year at Iowa State.
Yeah, I think so.
This year.
Obviously quarterback, but I think either one of those guys you can win with. I'm more concerned just the line than anything.
Well, absolutely.
The receivers are there. The running backs are there. You've got a tight end who will probably be an NFL tight end someday.
Yeah.
It's all on the line. And, you know, I hope this is the case. I hope that next year's big problem is the defense.
I hope our big problem is a punter.
Well, I'm talking more realistically, though.
Yeah,
Because do you remember going into this year, the defense was the big concern.
Oh, yeah.
And it turned out to not – I mean, it wasn't great by any means, but it was still outperformed the offense. I really hope next year is finally the year that a Paul Rhodes team's offense outperforms the defense.
I think that'd be a good sign. Because Wally's going to get the job done in some way.
Score 35 points and see what Wally can do. Yeah. You know, like, Wally can't do much when you're scoring 10 points.
Win the time of possession battle and see what Wally can
Anything.
Do.
Anything. Yeah. Just,
don't,
you know,
punt 12 times in a game and see what
don't
Wally can do.
Don't go out your first four possessions.
Actually score a point in your first possession just once. One time.
Yeah. I mean, that's my – the offense can do a lot to help out the defense.
Absolutely.
In this program. And I still like – you know, the Brandon Jensen thing was a big hit.
Yeah.
That's a huge hit. I don't think that Charlie Rogers leaving probably got enough play. I mean, he at one point I thought was the best pro prospect on the team.
Have we heard anything on that? I mean, it's kind of like it just was – it is what it is.
It just happened.
Did the staff know it or did he just leave?
I don't know. I was just told by a university spokesman that he's no longer with the program.
Grades an issue?
And
no,
somebody – I think it was Tommy Birch caught up with Strohmeyer over at IWCC.
Yeah.
And he didn't even know, I think. What, I want to go back and check Tommy's report, but I don't even think Strohmeyer knew that the kid had enrolled at IWCC, but he was damn happy to have him, obviously.
Yeah. Well, absolutely. He looks the part. I thought when he was in, he played well. I don't know why he didn't play more, but
he'll be playing D1 again somewhere.
Yeah.
Someday.
Yeah.
The thing about Rogers that, why didn't Iowa recruit him more?
There's got to be a reason.
Yeah.
There has to be a reason.
I don't know the answer to that.
I don't either.
But back to the point, I mean, I still think even though Jensen's gone, that's a huge hit. Keeping Brandon Jensen would have been the top recruit they could have signed. But you still got two formidable D tackles this year, which I don't think you could say going into last year. The defensive ends have really struggled, but you just hope and pray that one of these JUCO guys can give you some immediate time and be a productive player.
Or a redshirt freshman can step up and do something.
Yeah. Morrissey's going to be a solid D end.
Yep.
I mean, he's going to be that. I don't see Corey Morrissey ever dominating anything, but he's a good, solid player.
He might have three or four sacks in the year.
But the problem is, I mean, these guys have got to get a blow at some point.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, I agree.
You've got to have some depth somewhere.
Well, hopefully, we have a couple guys that I believe redshirted this past year that maybe they can come in and they can play.
Mitch Myers, I thought, played well at the end of last year.
He played better.
He was actually playing more than some of those guys who we've discussed. He was playing more than Willie Scott a couple times.
Well, then on the defensive line, Cousins, I thought, looked pretty good at the
Cousins
end of year, too.
Was playing more than Jensen in that West Virginia game.
Yeah.
If you go back and look. So, and Pierre Acca was out with a shoulder injury for the majority of the year. So, you'd like to think that he's a big dude.
Yeah.
You'd like to think that he could break out a little bit. We'll see.
Right now, this time of year where these guys are working out, this is where you see the big improvement. You know,
yeah, we'll see. So. I hope so. You'll learn a lot more about everything that we're talking about right now if you come to the Cyclone Fanatic recruiting party.
Our special guests are pretty good about, you know. They
have some decent knowledge of the program.
Yeah, they know a couple people there, I believe.
Big time speech has been planned, too.
Really?
Tomorrow night. Yeah, I can't give any more details. It's just a teaser.
You got to give a better teaser than that.
I can't. It's a big time speech, though.
Big time speech.
Yeah, it's gonna be awesome. It's going to rock the place.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
What time are you going?
I'm going to get there early. You know, maybe play some Golden Tee early. I don't know.
Probably get there around 5.
5? I'll probably, yeah, same. Set up some tables.
Yeah.
Maybe have a
We need to hang some banners.
Yeah, okay.
I remember last year, because I get really nervous on this day.
You always do.
I still get afraid that nobody's going to come.
You get nervous for every event we do.
I hate events. I'm not an event planner.
Yeah.
I'm not. Like, I love the events once they start, but I hate everything that goes leading up to it.
I have to calm you down every time.
I don't want to let anybody down.
Yeah.
That's my biggest fear. I don't want to let our guests down who take time out of their schedule to come. I don't want to let Ryan Greening down or Joe Farron when we do something at Benchwarmers. I am so protective of our brand.
Yep.
That is Cyclone Fanatic. Like, I don't want to – we cannot, being a free site, we cannot have a bust. We have to bat 1,000.
Yeah.
There's no margin for error for us. So these things get me really worked up. And I'll never forget last year, Tron Smith knows me as well as my wife, okay? Like, this guy can read me like a book. He's become one of my best friends over the years. And he saw me freaking out last year. It's like an hour and a half before the event. And all of a sudden, he pulls me and Jason Luch, one of our the owner of the website, over, and he just makes us take a shot of Jack Daniels.
And you were good after that. Calm down a little bit. Yeah.
It helped.
Takes a little bit of the edge off.
Yeah. You and then like Scott Sipker showed up last year, which was fun because he kind of lightened the mood for everybody. Did a little like stand up comedy, but no, I'm pretty nervous right now. I got a little.
What are you nervous about?
I want everything to go well.
It's gonna go well.
Well, I mean, you can say that, but you don't know that until it happens.
It's every year. It's been there at K-Stand. It's gone awesome. It's been a great time. The guests have had a good time. The fans have had a good time.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I hope we have a nice time tomorrow.
All right. You just need to chill.
All right. So, you got anything else? Or are you good?
Bus trip.
Oh, yeah. The bus trip.
Bus trip, guys. Come on. March 1st at Kansas State. You watched the Kansas State game.
I did. I watched
Wouldn't that be a fun place to go watch a game? And
boy, I mean, yeah, it'd be fun and kind of intense, but I don't know if Iowa State wants to go there.
Well, maybe
that place is nasty.
Maybe if they took 60 additional Iowa State fans down there to cheer them on, maybe it'd be a little easier to get a win.
Perhaps.
So why don't we...
Aggieville's a blast, man. I really enjoyed that on the football, going down there to cover the football game this year.
I know. I'm excited about it. You've talked it up, it better be as good as you say.
It is a really underrated district.
You hear that, Fanatics? So if you want to go down, watch Iowa State take on Kansas State, send me an email. Jump on PayPal, pay, get signed up, CycloneFanatic17@gmail.com.
Also, it's tagged on the basketball forum.
Tagged on the basketball forum.
Yeah.
Yeah. PM me on the
Adam J. Gray.
Yeah, Adam J. Gray. PM me on Cyclone Fanatic if you have any questions. I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Busy week coming up. Recruiting party tomorrow at 7:30. Keg stand at 6 for the Wilson Toyota radio show on Thursday night. Where we'll really dig deep into, Rashad Vaughn reaction.
I got breaking news. Rashad Vaughn tweet right now.
Okay.
Rashad Vaughn tweets, today is the day. It's been retweeted 37 times in 1 minute already. So that's big news right
there.
That's
breaking news right there. If that doesn't get your blood boiling, I don't know what will.
This is what you turn into the Cyclone Fanatic podcast for right there, that kind of information. I'm just ready for his announcement to be over.
Yeah, let's get it over with.
Yeah.
Either way. And then the Fanatics will have to find a new recruit to be infatuated with.
Put pictures of him on their avatars.
Yep. Let's get it over with.
You know what? You got to love the passion, though.
Oh, I do. I love the passion.
Yeah. You know,
I'm not criticizing.
No, it's good. It's fun to see.
5:30 tonight, CBS Sports Network is when that Rashad Vaughn decision is going to come. He's Adam Gray. My name's Chris Williams. Thanks for tuning into the Cyclone Fanatic podcast presented by Mr. B Clothing down at 1995 Northwest 86th Street in Clive. Don't forget, you can subscribe to us on iTunes. Go and search Cyclone Fanatic. Good?
I'm good, man.
All right.
Thanks for having me on.
Take care, everybody.
Go Cyclones.